Please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word, John 5:18 through 29. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. May the Lord richly bless the reading of his word. You may be seated.
Okay. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. While you're turning there, I am going to read this verse. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. That is Psalm chapter 47 and verse 1. I dare say if we took that literally, we would be accused of being charismatic. Wouldn't we? Clap your hands, everybody, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. In this series that I'm calling Tag You're It, which is basically an attempt to try to get everybody in the church to take ownership of what's happening here. Is that a fair way to say? We ought to, you know, when you're invested in something, it's more than just financial, right? You care about that thing. You want to see it succeed, and you are willing to take the steps necessary to see that it succeeds, whether it's a family that you're raising, a business that you're operating, a team that you're coaching, or a church that you are a member of. There's no such thing, at least there ought not to be, as sitting on the sidelines in God's house. Amen. So, I want to do a brief recap of the last 2 weeks. We talked about the danger of Christian socialism, that is, the idea that everybody else is going to supply my needs. Don't be one of the 10%, be one of the 90%. You know, let's flip that number, right? 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, let's flip that number so that 80% of the people are involved and care. And last week we talked about using what God has given you. Everybody in here. And by the way, Ray shared with me an email, a website that he had gone to learn about his spiritual gifts, and I'm going to post that to the Facebook webpage here in a couple, the church Facebook page here this week, so that you can just follow the link. And, you know, like I said, those inventories, they're not perfect, are they, Ray? But it's a good start. It's a good start to find out what God maybe want you to do. And so this week, I want to talk about this. Why do we sing? Why do we sing? Jennifer brought up a good point in her message with the children. We sing at a lot of different times, don't we? Happy birthday to you. We sing to commemorate the day that someone came into the world. Y'all ever been to a Rangers game? Seventh inning, what do you sing? Take me out to the ball game. You sing that. Before every ball game, or maybe not here, but do they sing the national anthem here? Star-Spangled Banner? You know, it's tradition to sing the Star-Spangled Banner before the ball game. As you're driving down the car, windows down, radio up, you're singing to whatever it is you're listening to. Kaylin will tell you, there are times in the office I just start singing. And it's not always Christian songs. It might be something I'm listening to. We sing because we're made in God's image. That's the short answer. I'm not going to make you turn there, but in the book of Zephaniah, it's funny, somebody Wednesday night was talking about Zephaniah. I forget who it was. I think it was you, Linda. In the book of Zephaniah, the Bible says that God is a singer. Listen to this. In verse Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, excuse me, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. So the short answer to why we sing is we're made in God's image. And God sings. And so we sing. And the funny thing is, even lost people sing. Why? Because they too are made in God's image. That's right. So today, in the vein of Psalm 47, verse 1, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. I want to encourage you to sing. Now, I see a lot of women doing this. I don't see as many men doing this. And I know why. I do. My father, God bless him, he couldn't carry a tune in a 10-gallon bucket. But do you know what my father does when it's time to sing? He sings. You know why? Because he understands that it's not about us, it's about God. Now, I'm gonna admit to something up front. I stole this outline from a guy. I didn't steal the sermon. I developed the sermon on my own, but I stole the outline from a guy named Bob Coughlin. He's the lead minister at Sovereign Grace Music. Awesome. I want you to know that. The three R's for why we sing. The three R's. Hopefully this will be easy for you to remember. But here's one reason that I'm doing this. I think a lot of times we get the idea that singing is for performers. Singing is for the Loy Hans of the world. They can get up here with a guitar and pick and grin. Singing is for the Brian Marlers or for the Natalie Morgans or for the, y'all remember Stephanie Davises that used to be here. Singing is for those who have a great voice. Now, if you're talking about performing, there needs to be a level of acceptability probably, right? If you literally can't carry a tune in a bucket, you probably ought not be leading worship. But that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about singing. Singing is not just for performers. Singing is for everybody. And this is where I hope you are in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 12. And I want you to note, if you have one of those Bibles that has like a little subtitles, it might say something like the Christian life or the character of the new man. Something like that. Y'all see that? So what should it look like after you're saved? All right, let's watch this. Let's see what you agree with. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint, against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. We're all on board so far? These are Christian qualities, right? Okay, we're all on board so far. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. All of these are wonderful, aren't they? These are exactly, and man, if you could roll all these up, and like put them in a little pill and take them and be that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? That's what we ought to look like. That's what the new man, the new woman, looks like. All of those things. I'm not going to recap them, but you saw them for yourself. It's wonderful. That's what Christians ought to be. Now, I'm sorry to say these next two verses are just as true. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks, here's that singing again, to God the Father through him. Now, I'm including this in part of the ownership series, the Tag Your It series, because one of the things that, it doesn't anger me, it breaks my heart. When I walk into a church, and oftentimes it's this church, and all the women are singing, and a few of the men are singing, but then there's a smattering that it looks like you're just happy to tag along. You're just happy to listen to everybody else sing. And I want you to know, this message is for you, because you are the one missing out. Maybe you think we're better off because we can't hear you. I want you to know, you're missing out, because singing reflects God's heart. He's a singer, right? And part of taking ownership in this worship is pouring your heart out to God. Now, maybe you say, I do that in the shower. Let's do it in here too. Let's do it together. Look at what that verse said now. Look at what that verse said. Teaching and admonishing one another. You know what that means? I hope I don't trip, Loy. You got good insurance? All right. Here's what that means. Here's what that means. That means when you sing, you're teaching me. And when I sing, I'm teaching you. You probably had the thought before that this is the teaching time. And that's true. This is a teaching time. But what came before this was also teaching. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. How do we do that, Paul? Singing. Singing. So why do we sing? There's three R's. Here's the first one I want to show you. Singing helps us remember God's word. Natalie, I'm going to say it wrong. I tried to remember that little phrase, that little thing. Was it truth in song stays long? What is it? Things in song stay long. Huh? See, it's bad when you can't even remember the thing. It's like when you forget what you tie the thing on for. That's right, that's right. Things in song are remembered long. I cannot remember the name of the song now, but a couple of weeks ago we were standing in the hallway and Judy mentioned a song that I had not heard in years, and I immediately could remember the first verse and the second verse. You know how that is? Things in song are remembered long. Look at the verse here. Paul says, and I highlighted it for you, let the word of Christ dwell in you, abide in you. Let the word of Christ abide, let it sit, let it live in you. In other words, when he follows this up by talking about singing, here's the key. What we should sing, what we sing should fill our hearts with the word of Christ. Now, I'm not saying you can't sing any secular songs. I'm saying when it comes to singing Christian songs, the songs that you sing should be filling your heart with the word of Christ. This really ridiculous Baby Shark song has made a renaissance recently. Y'all have heard it, right? Unfortunately. It's not new. 10 years ago, I heard it. For the first time. Do you know where I heard it? In church. And I was embarrassed for everybody. I really was. Well, the thing that kills me is I know the guy that led it, and he's a great guy, and he loves God. And it's like, what? Are we letting the word of Christ dwell in those children's hearts by singing that idiotic song? Sorry to anybody that loves it. No! Word of Christ probably is a reference to the gospel itself, the word about Christ. You know, some scripture, there are some children's songs that are just scripture filled. In fact, this is interesting. If you Google the phrase scripture in song, you know what your results are almost all related to? Children's songs. It made me think, maybe we've got this thing backwards. The kids are the ones singing the scriptures, and we're the ones singing whatever's on the radio on K-Love at the time. I'm not against K-Love, but can you do better than singing scripture? You cannot. There's this little CD that we have at the house called Hide Them in Your Heart. Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining. See, say I'm singing it already. Do everything without argument. And it goes on. It's teaching the exact verse. It's great. God loves a cheerful giver. Ha, 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 ha. Now, it's kind of silly. You wouldn't sing that in church. But 2 Corinthians 9:7 says God loves a what kind of giver? And that song, as silly as it sounds, teaches the kids exactly that. Sad fact is, nearly all scripture-filled songs are considered children's songs. Do you know what we need to do in the church? We need to get serious about doing what Paul tells us to do, singing the songs that remind us about God's word, not necessarily just how I feel. Did you know that for years and years and years, God's people sang this huge book right in the middle of your Bible called the Psalms? Psalms is just a fancy Hebrew word that means songs. They sang them. We've gotten away from that. But the fact of the matter is, truth in song. How's it go? Truth in song is remembered long. I'm going with it. Things in song are remembered long. I think that's how it goes. Why should we sing? Singing helps us remember God's word. Number two, singing helps us, here's the second R, respond to God's grace. Boy, this is powerful, guys. Look at the next part of this that I want to highlight. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How, Paul? With thankfulness. This gets to the heart of what Jennifer said. You don't say, you know, the thing that separated Cain from Abel was not their sacrifice, but their attitude. The book of Hebrews teaches us that. It wasn't that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and Abel brought the sheep. That's not it. The Bible says in Hebrews that Cain's offering was rejected because he had not faith. He had no joy. He had no thankfulness in his heart to God. He was bitter. The songs we sing, emotionless singing makes no sense to me. Emotionless singing makes no sense. And we get this on when it comes to things. You know, you pull singing outside of the church and you get this. You go home to your daughter or your granddaughter or your mom or your dad. You bring out the cake. All right. Everybody sing. Boy, a smile just goes to you onto your face. You don't even have to try. Happy birthday to you. You sing the national anthem. It's a different emotion, right? It's a different emotion. It's not one of cheery lightheartedness. You're remembering, if you're thinking about the song, the sacrifices that were made in order to keep our freedom active. It's a different emotion, but there's emotion there. Guys, when we sing songs like we sang a minute ago, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Do you? Or did you just sing it emotionlessly? And wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Now, I get it. Not everybody shows emotion in the same way. I understand that. What I am saying, though, is that emotionless singing makes zero sense. You know, 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15 says this about David. David when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant home, was so joyful in the Lord that he danced before the Lord with all of his might. And he was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. What is that a reference to? Music. They were singing. They were shouting. They were energetic. Who said that? Amen, brother. Amen. Singing. Guys, listen. God has given us the gift of singing. Think about this way. We often think that singing is our gift back to God. I think we've got it backwards. Singing is God's gift to us so that we can explain to him and just pour out our hearts to him how grateful we are. That's what singing is. And that's why it doesn't matter how you sound. It doesn't. We don't know if David could sing. We know he could dance. This David's the exact opposite. Y'all remember back when the iPhones first came out? I remember. It was like, whoa, this is crazy stuff. I remember when the iPhone first came out. And one of the catchphrases that kept coming up was, there's an app for that. Remember that? There's an app for that. And now there's an app for almost anything. I'm going to, with Mr., what's the guy's name? He's dead. Mr. Apple. Steve Jobs. With apologies to Steve Jobs, I'm going to change that phrase a little bit. There's a song for that. There's a song for that. Are you full of joy? I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. Now you're singing it, aren't you? Inside. Are you sad? When peace like a river attendeth my way. There's a, oh come, Emmanuel. There's a song for that. Repentance, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm what? Coming home. Are you feeling victorious? In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. You see, singing is a way that you can take the way you're feeling and respond to God's goodness in your life. Amen. And we should be doing that. We should be doing that. Now, I say singing because it is singing and not merely hearing a song that is the vehicle. You understand what I'm saying? It is not just you sitting and listening to everybody else sing. It is you partaking in this worship of God. Third R, singing helps us remember God's word, respond to God's grace, and it helps us reflect God's glory. Paul says in verse 17, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Singing helps us reflect God's glory. We've talked about this concept of giving glory to God before. You giving glory to God, I'm going to make this as simple as it can be. What does it mean to give glory to God? It means to reflect what he's like. Boom. Simple. God, and what is God like? Mark it down. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things, there is no law. That's what God is like. So when you're like that, you give glory to God because you reflect him. Just like the moon reflects the rays of the sun. You can see the moon, not because the moon has light, but because it reflects the light of the sun. So when you reflect the light of the Son of God, you give glory to God. You see how that works? Amen. And singing helps us to do that. The songs we sing should be about, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. The songs we sing should primarily be about God, not us. Mainly about God, not us. I hate to do this because one of y'all love this song. I know it. But I won't even name the song. I'll try to keep the embarrassment down to a minimum. There's a song, when I'm listening to the radio, I hear all the time. You might not recognize it without the music in the background. After, you tell me, where's God in this, okay? You tell me, where's God? After a season of nightfalls and pushbacks, after the heartache of wrong turns and sidetracks, just when they think they've got you, game, set, match, here comes the comeback. Just because you lay low, got up slow, unsteady, don't mean you blacked out or bought out. You're ready. Just when they think there's nothing, see, I can't even sing it, say it without laughing a little bit. Just when they think there's nothing left, running on empty, here comes the comeback. This is your time. Who's this song about? Is it about God? Is it about Jesus? Is it about what he did for us on the cross? No, it's about you, my friend. That's why it's so popular right now. People love to sing about themselves. I really don't want to offend people, so I'm not going to go through the hymnal, but there are definitely songs in our hymnal that are almost as bad. We got to look for them. When we sing about us, you know what we're doing? We're reflecting our own glory. That's a perversion of the purpose of singing. That's backwards. I would say to you, if there's not a clear reference to God, Scripture, salvation, man's sin, something, it's not really a Christian song. It's just a pick-me-up. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with pick-me-up songs. There's nothing wrong with them. I love pick-me-up songs. You look at my playlist, it's not all Christian stuff. But I don't call the stuff that ain't Christian, Christian. And we don't sing it in church either. Singing should help us remember God's word, respond to God's grace, and reflect God's glory. That means the song's got to be about God. I wanted to read to you the words of a song. You don't know, probably, because the guy's rather new. This is written in 2013. It's called Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery. Listen to this. Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ, who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery. He, the perfect Son of Man, in his living, in his suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ, the great and sure fulfillment of the law. In him we stand. Who is that song about? Not only is it about Jesus, it is full of Scripture. You will learn the Bible singing that song. That's the kind of song I want to sing. Amen. Let me close by saying this, because we do have Lord's Supper. Let me ask you a question. Do you have reason to sing? It may be that you're here today and you don't really have reason to sing. You don't sing because you don't think people want to hear you sing. You don't sing because you don't have a new song. The Bible says that when we're saved, God gives us a new song. Amen. That means when you're not saved, you don't have that new song. Guys, if you're not saved, I don't want you to fake it. I want you to make it. I want you to trust in Christ and be saved from your sins. Repent. Believe the gospel. God has never once broken a promise. You can take that to the bank. And if you repent of your sins today, God will save you today. If you're unsaved, you need a new song. But if you're saved, man, you've got all the reason in the world to sing. Amen. You've been blood bought. That means you're not on your way to hell anymore. Amen, brother. You've got the Holy Spirit living and residing inside of you. What an amazing thought. To be made one, to be merged with the God of the universe. You no longer are a slave to sin, but you're a slave to righteousness. Praise God! You have the power of prayer at your disposal, and all of your unsaved friends and family, you can get down on your knees and pray to the God who can change their hearts. Who else could say that? We have lots of reasons to sing. I pray that as we sing a couple of verses of number one, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, that you will sing. I'm not going to be looking at you. Don't be feel all... I'm not going to come and, you know, be taking a list. Nothing stupid like that. Remember, this isn't about me. It's about God. You sing out because God's given you a song. Amen.